Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many Christians have lost the sense of God's righteous justice. As a result, they live as they like, claiming that Jesus will forgive whatever they do. After all, what is grace for? Today, some powerful words for those who take sin lightly. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Erwin Lutzer is speaking about lie number 2, that God is more tolerant than he used to be.
And now this is from my heart to yours. Everything I've said is from my heart to yours, but this especially. Never interpret the silence of God as the indifference of God. Don't you ever think that because God is silent, he's indifferent to what's happening. In fact, it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. I like the translation that says that when God does not execute his judgments quickly, people think it is safe to do wrong. They say it's safe because nothing's happening. We're getting by. Don't be deluded. Sometimes we say that justice delayed is justice denied. That's true for human courts, not for God. It doesn't apply at all because God, you see, loses no information over the centuries. God is the one who is going to resurrect and he is going to try people and all of the wrongs are going to come out. That which was spoken in the house is going to be shouted upon the housetop. And in the end, we will be able to sing, "Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." And we will see that the God whom we think was far too harsh in the Old Testament is a God who is the God of the New Testament, and his justice and his judgments will be just. C.S. Lewis, in his Chronicles of Narnia, tells children's stories, really fantasy stories, but they're beautiful stories about the Christian faith. And one of them, maybe some of you remember this passage, you have Aslan the lion, and he's going to be met by some of the children who are really scared to meet this lion. Aslan represents Christ in the novel. And so these children are talking with, I think it's Mrs. Beaver, and they say, and I think it's Susan who says something like this. She says, "I'm scared, I'm nervous to meet Aslan. And is he safe?" And Mrs. Beaver says, "Well, everyone who meets Aslan is afraid. They are either braver than most if they aren't, or else they are just plain silly." And then little Lucy pipes up and says, "But I want to know whether or not he's safe." And Mr. Beaver says, "Safe? Are you kidding? Of course he isn't safe. But he is good, and he is the king." Is God safe? Of course he's not safe. The book of Hebrews says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Of course he's not safe. But he is good. And if you come to him through Christ, he'll accept you. God's silence should not be interpreted as the indifference of God. Thirdly, either your judgment in the future will fall upon your own shoulders, and it will be a terrifying judgment. It will be a judgment that will make Sinai look like your typical picnic out in the park. Either that judgment will fall upon you and you're going to have to bear it, or else you're going to have to find a substitute, somebody to bear it for you. And there's only one person who can do that, and that's Jesus. And when he died there on the cross, he suffered for us. And by the way, the next message in this series deals with the lie that God has never personally suffered. We're going to talk about the suffering of God on the cross. But when Jesus died there, you see, he bore our eternal penalties and he bore our sins so that justice can be assumed in our relationship with God, so that we can come into his presence, so that we can inherit that which he wants to give us. Notice what the text says. Ah, this is grace. We're free, right? It's not that bad. Oh? Since therefore we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God with reverence and awe. Ah, our God is a consuming fire. Same God who came in fire there on Sinai is the same God of Zion. Of course he's the same God. Of course his standards have not changed. Of course in judgment it's all going to be meted out to prove that not one scintillica of what he ever thought about sin would somehow be mitigated or lessened. There is a story that comes to us from the days when the prairies stretched from one part of the horizon to the other. A man and his daughter, the story goes, were walking along, and in the distance they saw a prairie fire that was coming in their direction. At least they thought it did. It was still miles away, but they thought maybe it would come there by nightfall or by morning. So the story is that the man began to begin a fire right where he was. He'd burn a patch, and then he spread it, and then he's kept spreading this patch, and he was burning as big an area as he possibly could and staying out of the flames. When the fire did come, and his daughter was so terrified, he said, "You know, dear, I'll tell you, if we stand where the fire has come, the flames won't get to us because we're standing where the fire has already been." When you and I come to Calvary, when we come to the cross and the one who hung there for us and bore our penalty and the fire of God, when we come, we're standing where the fire already was, because God is a consuming, consuming fire, and he isn't safe. He isn't safe. But he is good because of Christ. And so we come. And now we come into his presence and we say to ourselves, "I can enter because the terrors of law and of God, with me they can have nothing to do, because my Savior's obedience and blood hides all of my sins from view. My name on the palm of his hands eternity cannot erase. Forever there it stands, a mark of indelible grace." See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who heard him there on Sinai, what makes you think that they will escape now because of the grace of Calvary? He shook Mount Sinai, but he's shaking the universe. Therefore, we come in humility and we come to Jesus who can save us, and we worship God with reverence and awe, because he is consuming fire.
As we remake God in our own image, we're quick to give him the quality of tolerance. That way, he can never get on our cases for what we do and the choices we make. Is this more tolerant God, Pastor Lutzer, found only for those outside of Christ, or do any Christians fall prey to this second lie about God as well?
Well, you know, the young woman who said to me, and this is a quote, "I'm committing immorality, but it's okay because I know that Jesus is going to forgive me and that he died for me." That kind of an attitude really comes about because of a misunderstanding of the New Testament. Now, thankfully, God does forgive us and there is cleansing and forgiveness. But people look at the Old Testament and they say, you know, that God was harsh. You have at least a dozen different sins or crimes for which there was capital punishment. Well, you don't have that today. And that really is the basis on the message that I've just preached, because there are people who say, look, you stoned homosexuals in the Old Testament. Today we welcome them into our churches. God has changed his mind. Well, what I try to show is, number one, God cannot change. God is unchanging. But number two, the way in which he relates to us has changed. But let's not misread this, because God is the same and the same penalties will be exacted. I am the Lord. I do not change.
You quoted the saying, "Justice delayed is justice denied."
People point today to long waits on death row, making capital punishment of little deterrent effect. Help us understand how God has not changed if he no longer judges sin immediately like he used to.
Well, for God, justice delayed is not justice denied. The reason that's true for us is because witnesses die, time passes, etc., etc. But God, who can resurrect all things, and the God who has meticulous knowledge of all things, he can retry an issue 1,000 years from now and still do it. Absolute meticulous justice. So let's not look around and say to ourselves, well, you know, God isn't killing people anymore like Nadab and Abihu who disobeyed him. There are no more stories like that of Uzzah who touched the ark when he shouldn't have and was struck down by God. Therefore, God has relaxed his penalties. No, he has not. And I use the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews to show that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. In fact, the penalties in the New Testament, when we reject grace, are actually greater than the penalties of the Old Testament, which was under the law. So let's not be deceived on this point.
Pastor, in this message, you said some words that just chilled me to the bone. As believers, oh, we're free, all right. We're free to ski in Colorado, free to romp the beaches in Hawaii, free to see movies, free to drink, free to be as greedy as the next guy, and we think we are free to sin. We think God is more lenient than he used to be. How did we get to this state of affairs?
I think it's a misunderstanding between the Old and the New Testament, where we've taken the Old and we've said that's law and the New Testament is grace, therefore God has eased up. I think it's part of that. I think it's partly cultural, where once again we want to redefine God in such a way that he becomes the one who blesses anything that we want to do. And at root, it's because we have left the idea of the biblical unchanging God and have substituted an idol. I'm always reminded of the book of Ezekiel, where the prophet says they have constructed an idol in their minds. And I think that's what we've done.
You know, overall, this sermon struck me in many ways like Jonathan Edwards' famous Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I think many listeners might be feeling as I do, that you've pulled back the curtain. You've showed us God as he really is, not as we've imagined him to be. What response do you want to see from our listeners to what you've taught these past few days?
I want people, number one, to not misinterpret the silence of God as the indifference of God. I pointed that out in the message, where we look around us and we think, well, God isn't interested in what is going on. He's allowing people to get by, therefore he will allow me to get by as well. No, that is not true. God is still God, and our sins will be all answered for, either because we've trusted Christ and they have been laid upon him, or we will bear our own iniquities. You know, when you look at some of the television preachers, I might say, Dave, what you see is all of this stuff about how God loves us unconditionally and so forth, and that's only half the story. The other half the story is found in the book of Hebrews, where it says, our God is a consuming fire. What do I want people to do? To bow down, to worship him, to yield to him, to be obedient to him, and to begin again to fear him, just like some of our ancestors used to.
Tomorrow, Dr. Lutzer preaches on lie number 3, the lie that God has personally never suffered. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast.
10 Lies About God can be yours as a CD series sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.